Man, wow. I don't know what to say. I mean, I don't know if I could match that. This morning, this beautiful Sabbath. Wow, thank you to all the children. Let me tell you know, I'm just grateful and happy that San Jose Central has a bright future.
Amen.
I mean, our leaders that are coming behind us, I mean, I could not be much happier than this. Thank you, Children Ministry. Thank you to all the children as well. You are done so wonderful. And like I said, you know, I don't know about you, but I could just end right now with a prayer and I'll be satisfied with everything that we had seen so far. So praise God for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. And in behalf of also of the church elders, we thank you all for everything that you do. Remember, I as a pastor or the elders could not do, you know, everything without you. And that also includes the children. So praise God for that. Well, I think it has been a wonderful week. I know a lot of you. I was able to see some of you that had connected through that week of prayer. I mean, what a wonderful messages we had had. I mean, it has been a blessing since the beginning, since Monday until last night. But I will tell you, I know it's not posted yet. It will probably be posted until after Thanksgiving. Most likely, it will be before. We don't know. Be in the lookout for and I will probably send you know the links. I know Amber, thank you for that. I know Amber has been sharing some of those links already to those messages. But the message from last night, I would totally recommend for all of you to hear. Pastor Kenny Fraser was actually inspired by the Holy Spirit. So you don't I recommend you. Besides, you know, recommending all the other messages because all the other pastors were actually inspired by the Holy Spirit, but the message last night, it's actually something that we need to pay attention to, something that we need to listen to in a way because it really, really, really touched our hearts. So we will be in a way sharing those links to you. Well, it looks like we're back, you know, to what March looked like, right? Since the beginning of this pandemic. So I will encourage you in a way to stay faithful to the Lord. Amen. At the end of the day, who holds this world in his hands?
God.
Is God. All right. Is God the whole, you know, this world in his hand? And he is in control. He is in control. And we need
Amen.
to follow him. You know, as Pastor Kenny Fraser put it, you know, in his own words yesterday, we follow the lamb. We don't follow the donkey. We don't follow the elephant. We follow the lamb. We follow Jesus. We follow, you know, our Savior. So,
Amen.
with any further ado, my brothers and sisters, let's spend some time in the Word of God. Let me see if I could share my screen with you real quick. Our message for today is titled Gratitude. And I would like to thank Ruby as well because you know she in a way opened you know this beautiful Sabbath program with Sabbath School with that topic as well, gratitude. And if you miss it, well, I will encourage you also you know to look back at you know at this program as well that I know Sam also lives there in Zoom actually in YouTube I think recorded there so you could always go back and look at these beautiful programs that in a way are led by the Holy Spirit and by our Lord and Savior. So let's have a word of prayer and let's begin our study for this Sabbath morning. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this beautiful Sabbath morning. And even though, Lord, that You know, we're not there at church. We were partially there for the last few Sabbaths. But now, Father, we're not there any longer. But the church is not closed. Yes, the building is closed, but the church is not closed because we are the church, Father.
Yes.
So I want to thank you for our technology, for giving us this mean, for giving us this privilege to be able to connect with our brothers and sisters, with our friends through Zoom, through the phone, through YouTube, and any other means that you make it available for us to be able to share the word, your word, Father. So I ask, Father, that the Holy Spirit may inspire this humble servant as I preach your words, Father. May you give me the wisdom that the Holy Spirit will give, and may my words be your words. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. So, gratitude, my brothers and sisters. You know, it's hard for us as human beings, right, to be grateful, specific in these days. It's not that easy. It's not that simple. You see, this pandemic is not only has threat, you know, our health, but also our trust in God. We are, I'll probably put it in this word, we are undoubtedly, in other words, witnessing history in the making. See, years from now, scholars, historians will probably analyze that effects of COVID-19 on our society, economy, mental health, physical health, and even our spirituality will be in a way referred, you know, by these people maybe, you know, in a few years from now. But in the midst of this pandemic, my question to you is, are you grateful and thankful no matter what, no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, no matter what is happening to you or to your families? See, perhaps you have lost your recently, you have lost actually your job as this pandemic continues to make an impact in this economy. Or you may have lost your health or loved ones. See, such circumstances can be in a way tremendously difficult for people. And that includes ourselves. But even so, we all have much to be thankful for. I know some of you, you know, that are very thankful for the Lord, for what God has done to you. I know for a fact Sandy is thankful for the Lord, for what God has been doing in her life and taking care of her, specific in this in that surgery that she just had. I know Michael Pantoja, as he's recovering from his surgery as well, I know he is thankful to the Lord, even though it was painful, even though it was not that easy. And I could list, you know, a lot of you. I am thankful. I am thankful to the Lord because as a preacher, at least I could preach to you through the screen. And I praise God for that. So I'm very, very thankful to the Lord. Now, the Bible, my brothers and sisters, friends, tells us about a man who had everything, or I will put it, you know, in this word, he has the right to be bitter. But guess what? He opted not to. As he was waiting for his execution, his only bed was the hard, cold stone floor of the damp, cramp prison cell. Now, if you could, in a way, imagine that type of cell, especially during those times. See, not an hour passed when he was free from the constant irritation of the change and the pain of the iron cutting, I would probably say, you know, the chains that were cutting his ribs and even his legs. So separated from loved ones and friends unjustly accused, brutally treated. If ever a person, my brother, had a right to complain, it was this man, languishing, almost forgotten in a harsh Roman prison. But instead of complaining, his lips rang with words of praise, gratitude, and thanksgiving. That man was that Apostle Paul, a man who had learned the meaning of true thanksgiving, even in the midst of great adversity. See, early when he had in prison in Rome, Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Look at what he says. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with what? With joy. See, the Apostle Paul thanked God for the Philippians. And that's something extraordinary to do, especially, you know, when he has suffered, especially when he was condemned almost to the level that he was about to be executed. But why? Why that Apostle Paul, instead of being bitter, instead of being with a heart of ingratitude, why he was thankful, not even for his life, but also for the life of the Philippians? Well, because they were enduring in the Lord. See, the Philippians were enduring in the Lord. That's why Paul was actually thanking the Lord. That, my brothers and sisters, is a great reason to give thanks as an appreciation or as an application. We can also say that believing parents thank God that their children persevere in the gospel. How many of you parents say amen to that? Amen. How many of you proud parents say, thank you, God, for my child? Thank you, Lord, for because they are enduring in the gospel. So that is a great reason, my brothers and sisters, to be thankful to God. Amen. It's a great reason. How many parents, you know, to this point are still praying to God that their children that now are adults could go back to church, could go back to the Lord. You know, there is a lot of parents, believe it or not, even pastors are praying for some of their children like that, so that they could go back, you know, so that the children could go back to the Lord. So my brothers and sisters, you know, that is a great reason for us to be thankful to God. The Christian should thank God for everything and in everything. Not only when you have good things, but you should also be thankful even if you catch a cold, even if you break your leg, even if you have a headache. You should be thankful because you're vulnerable and you depend on God. See, gratitude to God is the correct attitude of the forgiving, the redeemed, and the blessed human heart. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
This gratitude to our Lord, to our Creator, our Savior, is emphasized, my brothers and sisters, in many passages of Scripture. You could read, for instance, Luke chapter 17, and a specific, you know, verses 11 through 19. It tells us about the story of the miracle by which the Lord Jesus Christ healed 10 lepers. However, only, the Bible mentions, only one of those 10 lepers that were actually healed returned to the Lord to thank him and to worship him. See, this was nothing less than a Samaritan. And the Lord Jesus said, referring to him, and we could read it in Luke chapter 17, verse 18 and 19, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. I mean, it's important for us, my brothers and sisters, to understand that ingratitude to God is morally unjustifiable and destructive, and it gives the person a devilish attitude. We know this, right? Because it was introduced by Satan in the Garden of Eden. If you read Genesis chapter 3, you will find that about, you know, how ungrateful man actually was. So ingratitude also leads us to betraying God. See, it was ingratitude that made Judas a traitor. And you could read it in Luke chapter 22. See, it was also ingratitude that deceived the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 by demanding his share of the inheritance from his father. He was saying basically to his father, why don't you just die and give me what belongs to me? See, he was ungrateful. Ingratitude also, my brothers and sisters, is actually a characteristic of sinful man. See, Paul very seriously asked Timothy to avoid that ungrateful, to avoid that ungrateful people, those people that were not grateful to what God was doing in their life. And we could read this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Oh, wow. Wow. Now, my question to you is, how many of you have this type of characteristics of an ungrateful heart? Someone who is basically not thankful to what you receive, not being content to what you have. See, the ungrateful are the main part of a list of people, absolutely, my brothers and sisters, reprehensible from God's perspective. See, God doesn't accept an ungrateful heart. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. That's why even King David, that's what Solomon even said, that we should become, you know, we should come to the Lord with what? A grateful heart all the time. Now, the question is, what does our gratitude towards God do to us? Because remember, everything that we do, it's either for our good purpose, or it's good, it's either for bad, for ourselves. So everything that you and I do, my brothers and sisters, is for our own benefits. See, it's not for God's benefits, right? See, God is not a sinful one, but we are, right? So what does actually our gratitude towards our Lord, our Savior, our Provider do to us? Well, the first thing that we learn in the Bible is that gratitude prompts us to obey God. How many of you realize that? You see, the Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 21, and these are actually the words of God. He says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So in other words, the grateful person understands very well that his duty is to obey the Lord. How many of you have realized that? See, when you actually obey the Lord, my brothers and sisters, basically you are being grateful to God. And by doing so, you are showing your love to Him. But you also receive the love of who?
God.
Of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want no love from nobody. All I want is the love from God. Because the Bible says, you know, like, even if you gain, you know, the love of this world, and even if you gain the love of everybody in this world, but you don't gain the love of God, basically you lose, or you lose your soul. Isn't that what the Bible said?
Amen.
So all what I need, my brothers and sisters, all what we need is actually the love of God. And how can we receive the love of God? By having a grateful heart, by understanding that our duty as children of God is to obey Him. And how we obey Him? By what? By following and by keeping His commandments. But not only gratitude, my brothers and sisters, not only gratitude prompt us to obey God, also gratitude prompt us to worship the Lord with all of our being, with all of our mind, with all of our hearts, with all of our soul. So look what the book of Luke actually says in Luke chapter 7, 36 through 50. And you could read this. But in this episode, you know, the Bible narrates in which a sinful woman, in other words, bowed down herself to the Lord and worshiped Him with a Pharisee only observes and criticizes whatever she's doing. So Jesus said to this Pharisee in regards to whatever the woman was doing, we could read it in Luke chapter 7, specific in verse 47. Look what the Bible says. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. So, in other words, my brothers and sisters, see, God wants your heart. How many of you say amen? God wants what it is in your heart, not that exterior. Okay? So, a lot of people will probably find it in a way a little bit, how can I say it, uncomfortable for what things you do in order for you to obey the Lord, in order for you to be thankful for the Lord, in order for you to receive the love from God. See, a lot of people will find it that you know, that you do radical things and they will not accept it. They will not take it. They will ridicule you. They will criticize you. They will stomp you. They will talk bad about you. And they will do the worst things that you probably could imagine. But this woman didn't stop. And how many of you say amen to that? She didn't stop because she had a grateful heart. See, she didn't think about all the things that she went through. She didn't think that she was a homeless. She didn't think that she was a prostitute. She didn't think that she was this, that she was that. She wasn't even thinking about, you know, that they were people that wanted to stone her to death. She wasn't thinking about that. She was thinking about the Lord. She was thinking about how can she be grateful to Him. So my brothers and sisters, gratitude prompts us to worship the Lord with all of our being. But more than that, gratitude to God prompts us to in a way desire to live in holiness. How many of you are trying to live in holiness? And yes. I hope you understand what I mean by holiness. See, the Bible says that without holiness, no one will see God. Did you know that? Without holiness, no one will be able to see God. Look at what the Bible said, Hebrews 12:14. pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see who? The Lord. See, it's not me saying it. It's the word of God. So gratitude, my brothers and sisters, prompt us to desire to live in holiness. See, only a person with a grateful, only a person grateful for having received God's salvation can long to live in holiness. You know, that's something that a lot of us are trying to do. But the key here in this verse is that we need to pursue peace with all people. Now, my question to you, are you in peace with everybody? That's the only way. Because the Bible instructs us as well that we not only need to love our neighbors and our brothers and sisters in Christ because they do good to us, because they like us, because they help us. The Bible goes even beyond. The Bible says that we also need to love our enemies.
Amen.
And that's what holiness is all about. We need to pursue peace with everybody, not just for those people that are good to us, even to those people that do bad to us. See, it's easier for us, right? When someone does something bad to us, as human nature, for us it's easy just to wait and criticize and talk bad about those person that do bad to us, right? But if you read Matthew 18, the Bible says that even those people that did bad to us, we are to go to them and tell them, my brother, my sister, you did something bad to me. My brother, my sister, I didn't like what you did to me. My brother, my sister, I didn't like the way you looked at me. I didn't like the way you treated me. But because I'm looking for holiness, because I'm pursuing peace with the Lord, I forgive you.
Amen.
See, that's not an easy thing for us to do, my brothers and sisters. But our gratitude to God, our gratitude to the Lord would prompt us to do just that. There is no other way. But besides that, our gratitude to God also prompts us to be genuine. And by meaning is, it leads us to be humble. See, gratitude to God, in other words, protect us from failing into pride and remind us that we are totally dependent on Him. We depend on God. Humility, my brothers and sisters, without God doesn't exist. It does not exist. Okay? The only one who could give you humility, the only one who could make you humble, is the love that you have for the Lord, is that obedience that you have for God. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14, the Lord tells us the difference between the prayer of a proud Pharisee and a repentant publican, and says, and we could read actually in verse 14 of Luke 18. Look at what it says. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humble. And he who humbles himself will be what? Exalted. So my brothers and sisters, our gratitude to God will lead us to humility. If it's something that we as human beings fight with every day, is pride. It's pride. And the only way for us to be able to renounce that prideful nature that we have. Today we learn in Sabbath school about, you know, that we were created in the image of God, right? But I also introduced to you a specific in Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, where he tells us that, yes, you know, Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. But after that, Adam and Eve descendants were actually born in the likeness of Adam and in the image of Adam. And that's why you and I, we need to be redeemed by the power of the Lord, so that God could restore that image since the beginning. That image for you and I to be like God and to be in the image of God. But my brothers and sisters, you and I will never conquer that if we're not grateful. If we don't develop, you know, that gratitude, that humility that only the Lord brings to us, there is no way that we are going to be able to do that. See, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your pain is. I don't know what your sorrow. I don't know what your cries are. I don't. But I know that God knows. And even today we learn in Sabbath school, right, that we even need to be grateful for our cries, for our tears, for our pain, for everything. Isn't that what the Bible tells us as well? See, we have to learn to be grateful to God in everything and for everything. Not just in everything, but also for everything that we have. See, the Bible is full of references to the importance of cultivating a thankful heart. Psalm chapter 103, verse 1 and 2 tells us, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Mm-hmm. See, it's interesting, my brothers and sisters, that we missed the benefits of what comes in our way. We miss those benefits. Why? Because a prideful heart, what the prideful heart is always looking is for those good things. Yes or no?
Yes.
For good things. See, we pray to God to give us health. We pray to the Lord to protect us. We pray to the Lord to heal the sick. We pray to the Lord to keep us safe, and so on and so on. But how many of you pray to the Lord in telling him, "Thank you, Lord, for this headache. Thank you, Lord, for this cancer. Thank you, Lord, for you name it. Thank you, Lord, because I lost my job." Who thanks the Lord for that? Who thanks the Lord for that?
Amen.
Only a grateful heart. Only someone that has gratitude for the Lord. Because at the end of the day, what this verse is telling us is that everything that happens to us is to our own benefits. Amen? It's for our own benefit. Yes, my brothers and sisters, it's for our own benefit. See, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, and also Colossians, if I could remember correctly, verse 3 and 17, exhort believers to live in continual thanksgiving to God for everything and everything. So let's read Ephesians chapter 5, 20. "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." See, the Bible doesn't say it, only give thanks to the good things that God gives you. It says give thanks always for what?
Everything.
For all things. For all things. Even give thanks for that sister or for that brother in Christ that got you upset. Be thankful to them. Even be thankful to those people that stung you. Even be thankful to your relatives, your loved ones that hate you because you are a Christian, because you follow Jesus. Even be thankful to that, how can I say this? To that boss in your job, to that manager that you dislike, or that manager that dislike you. Even give thanks. The Bible even exhorts us that we even have to give thanks to the governors of this world, because we have to pray for them. And how many of you do that? How many of you pray for them? Or you only talk bad about them? Or you only criticize them? See, the word of God goes beyond that, because that's the only way that you and I will humble ourselves, my brothers and sisters. That's the only way to accept all things the way they come and to be thankful for all those things. See, gratitude to God lead us to joy, and ingratitude to the Lord lead us to bitterness. So the book of Philippians, and you could read, you know, the book of Philippians, because it has about like 16, and I count them, 16 references to joy and rejoicing. But we can only experience, my brothers and sisters, the joy of God when we have a deep and practical gratitude towards God. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says this: therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly what? Fear. Yeah. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I think you and I, we owe to practice gratitude. We need to be grateful for all the things that God brings to us. Amen. Thankful in everything. You know, and I'm so proud of all the leaders of the church. I'm very proud of all the children of the church. Proud of all the ministries, everybody that gets involved, even in the least things, you know, that they do. But I'm so proud and I'm so thankful to the Lord for all of you. And I pray for you and for your families as well. I would like to end this message in the next 7 minutes. And I would like for you to relax in this moment. You know, just relax. Look at your screen. I'm not a good photographer, but I don't know. Some of you might not even notice that the pastor takes pictures sometimes. All right? And don't blame me if it didn't come out good in these pictures. But I want to dedicate these 7 minutes, my brothers, to give you a tribute to all the ministries in our church. I included all these pictures from the middle of last year until this time. So are you ready for it? I just hope that I could share this with you. Let me see if I could stop this. And I want to share also the sound, so the way you take this moment to look this appreciation for all church ministries.
Sometimes at night, when I am afraid, I cover my eyes and I cover my shame. So here in the dark, broken apart, the light of your grace to fill up my heart. We delight in the law of your word. We delight in the Son who was perfect from birth. We delight in the day He's returning to earth. Hallelujah. We will bow our hearts because we are free as we raise our hands to give you glory, Father of life and love. Infinite worth. We're delivered by blood that flows from the tree, draws near to you. Vessels of your mercy for the invention of man, glorious Trinity. We delight in the law of your word. We delight. Restore us again. The nations of man will rejoice in the God of the wilderness. We delight in the law of your word. We delight in the Son who was perfect from birth. We delight in the day He's returning to earth. Hallelujah. Perfect from birth, we delight in the day He's returning to earth. Hallelujah. We delight in the law of your word. We delight in the Son who was perfect from birth. We delight in the day He's returning to earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. May the glory be to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, San Jose Central Church Ministry. Thank you for everything that you do for the Lord. And be grateful. Let's all be grateful and thankful for the privilege that the Lord give us to serve Him in all of our capacities. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy. I want to thank you, Father, for who you are, for what you do for us, Father. Thank you for all those things, even though sometimes we're ungrateful. But I ask, Father, that you give us a heart of gratitude, that we should be thankful for all the things. It doesn't matter how they are. It doesn't matter how they come or when they come, Father. We should be thankful. Because you love us, you care for us, and you want the best for us. A grateful heart, Father. A grateful heart, a heart filled with gratitude, Lord, is a heart that obeys the commandments, that obey what the Lord says in the Holy Scripture. So thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for the children. Thank you for their families. Thank you for our friends, Father. Thank you. Thank you for all the leaders and for everyone. We ask, Father, that you continue blessing us, that you continue being with us. In Jesus' most precious name I pray. Amen. Amen.